Are we on? Oh, there we go. Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I'm James Haskell, along with my co-host Glenn Martin and DK in the background. I'm back in the house tonight. I'm no longer outside. Last night, I was outside after the game, but I'm back in the house. Looking forward to chatting tonight. I tell you what, tonight came fast because, of course, Glenn, we were on it last night, less than 24 hours ago. But we're here to talk about your Baltimore Ravens, give you any updates. But really, I think this show, because it's been less than 24 hours, is going to be about playoff picture, what the Ravens maybe can improve upon, our thoughts on the MVP race, etc. Still reviewing the game last night and kind of starting to turn the page. We'll also go over our competition, so make sure you stay tuned to see who the winner is of all of you that submitted your guesses. But Glenn, how are you doing this evening? It's the day after Christmas. You guys bouncing back all right? You tired from staying up late the night before? How you doing over there?
Yeah, a bit of a sleepy day today after a late night last night, and the dreary weather certainly didn't it certainly played a part. But look, I've been enjoying the talk today. I mean, still dumbfounded by those who just refuse to give in, to surrender to the fact that this is the best team led by the MVP. But for the most part, I loved absorbing all this national media attention for the Ravens. They weren't completely put on the back burner like they are most weeks, even with big wins. They got a little bit of their flowers. So it was nice to see. Quick turnaround, of course, with the Dolphins game coming up this weekend. Not a lot of time to celebrate this win, but we'll certainly enjoy it while we can. I mean, the cool thing is I went out tonight, went to a local watering hole, played some pool, and the replay of the game was on all the TVs. So I got to watch the game basically a second time today, and and it was even prettier the second time, Jimbo, let me tell you.
No, that's awesome. Glad to hear it. And so after the game, since the game is over, I've had some time to digest it, and it's just solidified even more. My confidence in the Ravens is now congealed. It's like a day old cranberry. So like a day old, here we go. Like a day old green bean casserole. You know how it like congeals?
Oh yeah.
You know, that's, you got to put it in the microwave to loosen up a little bit, you know?
Add a little bit of liquid to it.
That's what I have right now, is congealed confidence. And the Baltimore Ravens just been solidified and absolutely, fortified. I'm so excited about this football team. I was a little bummed that there's still people, like you said, resisting the fact that Lamar Jackson is clear about MVP by basically reading stat lines and not watching football. It also is disappointing to me when those guys are former football players. Shout out to Jeff Saturday looking like an absolute buffoon on television when he said that Christian McCaffrey was the MVP of the league after he had a good game and his team still got trounced, which diminishes your value there. But look, man, I'm excited about Baltimore. Obviously, our team. I'm a little nervous about injuries. Is there anything that has you nervous outside of health right now? And that doesn't even have me super nervous. I mean, I think we're playing really well. But is there anything out there that getting you a little nervous, Glenn, keeping you up at night right now?
No, I mean, the things that had me worried, like in particular, like the health of our tackles, the performance of our tackles. I mean, it's a bit of a roller coaster. So I guess in that regard, I'm a bit concerned in that we may have a down week from our tackles. But if we have a week like we had this, you know, yesterday, it's just crazy. They come off the bye week. Ronnie Stanley has what looked to be his best game of the season. The following week, last week, gives up 7 pressures, which is leading on the team. And then this past week, again, 0 pressures against Nick Bosa and Chase Young and all these guys. It's like, so not really concerned. I think hopeful, but I do recognize the fact that we could end up in the playoffs and have a bad tackle game. So that's, I guess, the only thing that, like, the inconsistencies at the tackle position, but everything else, Jimbo, I mean, look what we're doing from a defensive side. We talked about last year and what stat jumped out consistent among playoff teams and even Super Bowl teams last year. Defensively, the number one was sacks, right? Like the Eagles were far and away the best team at doing it. No surprise that they were in the Super Bowl. The Niners right up there. No surprise they're in the Super Bowl. I mean, these guys, we're getting to the quarterback. It's a drive killer. Another big indicator is takeaways. Can a defense take the ball away from opposing offenses? Well, Jimbo, I mean, nothing ends a drive, obviously, better than a takeaway, right? You stop, you take the ball, give it back to your offense. Well, I think second and third are probably sacks and then self-inflicted wounds by them in the form of penalties. Well, the Ravens lead the league in sacks. They lead the league in takeaways on defense. So when you're telling me that they have a Super Bowl defense, and then I look over and I go, man, they got Lamar Jackson playing at this level too? I mean, it makes you almost feel invincible. And the only thing that I think would hurt us is if they kind of step on their own toes, or they get too, you know, you always say, you get too high, you start looking past opponents.
Yeah.
But the maturity I saw in the post-game press conference makes me think that that's not going to be a problem. I mean, he recognized, he said, look, we did this in 19. We can't let it end the way it did in 19. So Jimbo, no, I'm like you, man. I'm confident. It's hard to find an area of this team that I'm worried about.
Yeah, and everyone keeps talking about the running back, you know, rotation and you know, guys having to step up here, guys having to step up there, nicks and bruises. But number one, everyone's got it. Number two, the Ravens have shown, like you said, they have emotional maturity. They're deep. They got eight under center, and that defense is just playing as a pack. They're an absolute pack. It's so funny to me because I was watching that presser last night with Lamar after our show, and I swear it was verbatim what we said, in that he is so much better now at, like, he's like, just like you mentioned, he talked about 19 and remembering that, but just being in the moment, being there with his team, taking games at a singular time, taking it play at a time. And he talked about all that. And I think that's so cool to see the maturation of him as a player, the psychological advantage that it provides him to be able to do that. I'm looking forward to it, man. I cannot wait for Miami to come to Baltimore. I hope it's cold. I can't wait for the one of them to get – I hope Gus just – and I know Gus has been up and down, has been super – you know, has been Gus lately. But I smell a get-back game. Gus was a Miami boy. Like, he went to Miami first and transferred to Rutgers because they didn't want to give him clock. You know, he's always got a bone to pick with old Miami down there in 305. So I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, man, this team is clearing away the best team in the league. They've been going through this gauntlet one team at a time and just knocking them down. I think you had a cool stat, Glenn, that I think is really worth sharing. If you guys haven't seen, I think it's floating around Twitter somewhere. But just talking about the Ravens' success against good football teams.
Yeah, no doubt. Because we talk about the Miami Dolphins are on they're right on the horizon, and it's like you can't really enjoy this win too long because that game is even more important, being as though it's likely going to decide who gets the number one seed. And you think about the Dolphins heading into last week, they were 10-1 against teams under 500 and 0-3 against teams above 500. Now they finally got their first win against a winning team when they beat the Dallas Cowboys on a game-winning field goal. But I don't think anyone looked at that as like a dominant win. I think it was a win that, you know, against a Cowboys team that doesn't know how to win on the road. But nonetheless, they got their first win against a winning team. Well, you look at this, I mean, and it just blows your mind. Not only do the Ravens have a bunch of quality wins and a bunch of wins over teams above 500, but they've absolutely destroyed these teams, Jimbo. The Ravens currently have 7 wins by 14 or more points. Insane. And all of those wins came against teams above 500. Most of these teams are in the playoffs right now. Mm-hmm. And the craziest thing is no team in history has had more than 5 in a single season. Ravens already have 7. If they beat Miami, that's 8. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. And if the Steelers win this week, upcoming, and then we beat them in the last week, that's 9. If we beat them by 14 or more, of course, I'm saying. But that is just crazy. We're not just beating teams, Jimbo. We're absolutely destroying them. And it's funny when you look at stats like this and you think back, wasn't it like 2 weeks ago teams were still saying the Ravens haven't had a complete win? They still don't have an identity? What are we talking about, Jimbo?
Dude, it's so insane to me how – yeah, I mean, look at that list.
Whew.
Just of victims. I mean, just you talk about slaying the dragon, right? Like – They do so week after week after week, and I think Liz is going to get longer, of course, this week coming up against Miami. But, man, that is just incredible. The Ravens are a good football team. They're the best football team right now in the NFL. There's no way, shape, or form that you can say otherwise. I did see Richard Sherman, of course, saying that if Lamar Jackson won the MVP, this would be the worst statistical MVP in the history of the NFL. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? We've talked about there have been some NBA players that have averaged 20-10 forever, right? Who was the dude that was in Portland forever, ended up in San Antonio, and then ended up with the Nets and retired? You know who I'm talking about, Benton. Big man?
I do not. You talking about the big white guy?
No.
I'm talking about Bertans.
No, hold on. Or
Splitter.
There we go.
Iago Splitter.
No, what's his name? His name's right here. He was number 12. Gosh, dang it.
LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yes.
Appreciate it, Blackula.
Yeah, thank you. LaMarcus, no knock on LaMarcus Aldridge. Dude had a great career and had some moments and, mm-hmm. you know, was a great player. But, like, if Lamar, I mean, so you're going to put him in the Hall of Fame because he's got good stats only? Like, is that all you're going on?
Yeah, it's like you said, Jim, it's always shocking when former players are the ones.
That's the craziest part to me.
It's like, dude, you should know above anyone that you have to look at the game and not just the box score. Like,
blows my mind, man. I just don't know. I don't know what to do anymore because, like, I don't know. It's just so clear to me that it just makes no sense. I don't get it. I'll tell you what. I just also want to say, okay, let's get to this. Just Quan says, Gustin Hill, 2 to 3 yards per carry scare me because other players must show up in the playoffs to help Lamar. I said it on Twitter, Duvernay need to take snaps in the backfield with that 4-3 speed jet sweep king. Well, Duvernay's still out and in full sweats. So I don't know if he's got 4-3 speed right now. I'd love to have Duvernay back. Look, first of all, that's a good defense, like Glenn mentioned. We'll see how I have number faith.
One against the run.
Yeah, and I have faith that Gus Edwards, if you give him 18 carries, he's going to average his career average. Like, I'm not saying he's going to go off, but generally speaking, you're going to get from Gus what you got from third. It, right? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just...
Well, for the season, I get what he's saying. In the game, he's right. 2 to 3 yards per carry when you're talking about those two guys. But for the season, they're both over 4 yards per carry. So, right. You know, it's a little bit... You got kind of the bigger sample size. But, I mean, I get what you're saying. We want that run game to be there every game, but... Look, Lamar Jackson is still a part of that run game, and so he certainly lifts that group up. But yeah, I mean, I'd like to see more consistency
definitely
from the running backs. But it's definitely a tough, that was a tough fast defense, man. They're good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I definitely would like to see more of that as well, and some pounding 8 yard runs from Gus Edwards that like the ones we're familiar with would be nice, especially in the second half. But I think at that point we're kind of splitting hairs. I'm not concerned. Like, I'm not overly concerned about it. The Ravens did what they had to do to win last night. And not only did they win, they won in dominant fashion. I think the score was deceiving in a lot of ways.
No, for sure.
Like, Sam Darnold comes in and whips one in there. And as soon as the Ravens get to adjust to him, that they actually dominate him because they were in the red zone twice.
Mm-hmm.
And the next time he's in the red zone, he got absolutely destroyed. So, yeah. I understand it's just Quan, but I'm also not concerned about it. And I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, dude, we talked about it yesterday, but, man, how good is Zay Flowers? Mm. This is a football player.
He is an absolute weapon. I think he – I mean, it's amazing how two guys can have similar, like, stature, similar build, but be so completely different in their play style and how one just seems to fit a city more than the other. It's just amazing. Like, even when Marquise was making big plays for us, when Hollywood was making big plays and catching touchdowns, he never seemed to really win over the city. And it didn't help that he had moments where he had bad drops, but it just seems like Zay won this city over immediately. Mm-hmm. It certainly helps that he's very good, but also just seems like his play style, personality, everything just fits Baltimore more. It's just crazy, man, how just perfect that guy seems to be for this team.
Yeah, from just like you said, from a personality standpoint, from a you know, way of play standpoint, all of it. I mean, he really, really meshes well with the city. And look, it's just going to keep continuing. I can't, you know, continuing to develop him as a player, and then you know, the love for him here in the city. So I'm looking forward to that as well. Don C says, Unk Shannon Sharp and Mike Flores eating some humble pie today. Love it. Yeah, man, that's the other thing, too. I feel like Shannon lately has been hating on the Ravens. They only got him a Super Bowl.
I mean, I've been disappointed in Shannon. I'm a big Shannon guy, but lately I've been disappointed. He had a take last week where he talked about the stud free safety for the Ravens, Kyle Hamilton, who didn't play today. Meanwhile, he did very much so play. It made tons of huge plays. So the fact that he didn't even know whether the guy was on the field just shows that it was just kind of embarrassing. Like, it was kind of sad. Like, he obviously didn't watch, like, nobody prepped. Nobody did anything to help this guy out. Like, he looked like an idiot in that moment. So, I didn't like seeing it because I mean, Shannon Sharp in that first season of Hard Knocks was, I mean, that's primetime television. Shannon Sharp won me over. I love that guy. Mm-hmm. But he has disappointed me like crazy as of late. Just simply, it's proving that he's only looking at a box score and nothing else.
It's crazy to me, dude. I'll never understand it.
I mean, you're paid to watch and evaluate 16 games, which can be, I get, that's extremely tough. But you got to do some bit of homework. Like, yeah. You can't just totally mail it in. I mean, that was...
Look, you know what you're talking about for the most part the day before. You ain't talking about the games. You're not talking about, I don't know, I'm giving an arbitrary example.
The Patriots-Broncos game, like, nobody cares.
Right, there you go. That's a perfect example. And you're not talking about that, right? Like, at least, dude, you put those games on 1.5 speed. The NFL Network's got them down to 32 minutes in the compacted version.
Yep.
Sit on the couch, watch a 32-minute game, figure this thing out, dude.
Right.
I don't get any of it. Yeah. Eli Hoff says, great win versus San Fran, but we still got two tough matchups left. Finish strong. Hopefully get Andrews back, and let's win the whole thing. Hey, I love all of it, and it would be awesome to see Andrews back with the emergence of Isaiah Likely. And, you know, you want to see them properly use both of them. Man, what an issue we have at tight end, right? We have one of the best in the league in Mark Andrews, far and above. And, man, Isaiah Likely is looking good. Dang, we can draft him at tight end.
It is crazy. We can keep
– I guess like it makes sense. You got a Hall of Fame tight end at the helm.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, he better be able to pick him at his position.
He didn't draft Shannon, but, of course, saw the importance there from Shannon to Todd. I mean, to Wilcox we had on the show. You know, obviously you go down the list. He's done well for himself. That is for sure. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just saying, appreciate it, Eli.
Yeah, thank you. Do you want to talk about the competition? Should we get into it?
Well, before we do that, because I think that's probably going to be our last thing, I just want to quickly throw up the playoff picture and kind of go over the what ifs this weekend, because – you know, the Ravens fans have been pretty lucky in that a lot of what we needed to happen has happened over the last couple of weeks. Of course, not everything's gone our way. We look at what the Browns have been able to do since picking up Joe Flacco. But I just want to throw this up here real quick, just to get a quick understanding of where we're at right now, what this weekend could mean, because we talked about it a bit last night, Jimbo. Mm-hmm. It's pretty insane how the schedule makers got lucky with this one. The Ravens play and set some pretty crazy records with Monday Night Football watching. Their viewership was insane last night. And the fact that they didn't flex this damn Dolphins game still is blowing my mind. They could have fully taken advantage of kind of that wave that they're riding right now. This would have been probably broke last week's record. But with this game, Jimbo, correct me if I'm wrong, they're the only team that can get to 13 wins if they win next week. They seal it up, right? It's number one. That's it.
Yeah, because, I mean, yeah, I think the math makes – obviously the rest – we all got two games left, and if we beat the Dolphins, the best they can do is 12-5.
That's right. Now, what if we lose?
Well, obviously –
does this mean Miami gets the one – like, do they vault us tiebreaker-wise? I mean
– well, who's their last game? Isn't it the Bills?
Oh, yeah, look, because right here, division opponent is the first one. They're 4-1. So they would at least vault us, but their last game is the Bills. So they could, but our last game's the Steelers.
And this is the thing. This is the other thing too. The Bills are still in it because they're two games. So if the Bills win and the Ravens win, they're a game back. That game is for the division week 17 for them. At least in my mind.
Right. So, well, no, hold on. Yeah, they will, because they'll be
right. If they'll have a tied record and then they'll have swept them.
But if the Dolphins win, then that ends that debate. The Bills can't catch them even with a win. Takes a little wind out of their sails. And then let's say they win, we lose, and Cleveland wins this weekend. Then Cleveland still has a shot at the North and the number one overall seed. How crazy is that? Am I missing that? Am I wrong about that? It's because if Miami wins this weekend, loses to Buffalo, and Cleveland wins out, gets to 12 wins, I mean – they're going to have the same division record. They'll have the same conference record. So I don't know with the tiebreakers and how it all goes down.
Well, the division record. Yeah, you're right.
Because the Dolphins will have two losses because they'll lose to the Bills. Like, I don't know how this breaks down, but does Cleveland with Joe Flacco at the helm still have a shot at the number one overall seed?
They do. I mean, it looks like it, right? I mean,
this is crazy.
This is wild.
January Joe, dude. I saw somebody said he's like an F-150, dude. You might not love him in the summer, but man, let me tell you, in the dead of winter when there's snow on the ground and that thing gets rolling, baby, it's your most prized possession. I think Joe Flacco, I mean, he's already, people should already have framed jerseys in the city of Cleveland for this guy, mm-hmm. what he's already done to bring hope to that city.
Well, have you heard they're talking about some people are wanting, you know, of course, him to get an extension and like roll this thing into next year and like.
Good. Deshaun's still there, isn't he? How much does he get next year?
I think, what is it, like 63 or
63 million?
That's just wild. Could you imagine, dude? Like.
And he's the backup?
Oh. To a 39-year-old Joe Flacco?
Yep.
Oh. Yeah, but you're right. I mean, all that makes sense to me. At this point, the only three teams that can win, that can have the number one seed, just like you said, Ravens, Dolphins, Browns.
Yeah.
And then, oh, man, I just can't wait till this Miami game, dude.
Yeah, man. We can put the nail now, in the coffin.
I saw somebody in the chat say that Waddle's out for the year.
Yeah, high ankle. Yeah.
Oh, is he done? And well, what's the deal with Tyreek? Did he come back in the Dallas game?
I think he's out for the playoff. He's out for the regular season. Yeah.
Did Tyreek play in the Dallas game? I didn't watch it.
He did. He had a down game of 9 for 99.
All right. So, yeah.
But with him being the singular focus again, you know, for our defense is a huge difference because Waddle can't, mm-hmm. it can't make you pay if you sell out for Tyreek. So that's a big, big loss. But my last question, Jimbo, if the Ravens win this weekend, we've already said it's no one else can get to 13 wins. No one can catch him for the number one seed. And I'm going to ask you one more time. And guys, I want you in the chat. Let me know as well. Are you benching Lamar for week 18? And if so, who else are you benching to give mm-hmm. them two solid weeks of rest? Yeah. And who are you going to be if that rest comes back to bite them? Are you going to tear John Harbaugh a new one?
So one, I'm going to rest as many guys as I can.
Okay.
Two, I'm not going to come back. I'm not going to come back to bash John. I don't think that it actually came down to the rest of 19. I think it came down to the fact, just like you said yesterday, it's a different team, much more veteran team. Mm-hmm. Lamar himself being a veteran, right? And then look at all the other vets in other position groups. Even where you got a position group where you got a guy like Zay, who's kind of, from a production standpoint, leading the room, you got an OBJ there who's a vet, right? Like mm-hmm. every room, you got the Van Noys, you got the Clownies, you got, you know, these guys that have matured as players. So, I'm still going to be sitting them if that's a possibility. And you know why, Glenn? Two letters. TJ. TJ Watt. I don't need him punching anybody. I don't need him, you know, knocking anybody into tomorrow. Or I'm going to knock you into tomorrow, Rock. Like, I don't want any of that from TJ Watt. I don't want anything to do with the desperation of the Steelers. I just sit him. So
Lamar
sits. I'm sitting Clowney. I'm sitting Ronnie. I'm sitting Morgan Moses. I'm sitting Zeitler. I mean, I knew you can only sit so many guys on the offensive line, but at least off the top of my head, those three for sure.
Okay.
Because they've all had various issues, right? Zeitler most recently, but the other two, it seems to be ongoing. I'm sitting Kyle Hamilton, obviously.
Okay.
I'm sitting OBJ.
How about Marlon?
I'm sitting Marlon.
Okay.
I mean, the only thing is that you can only sit so many.
Let me ask you this. Could they sit Roquan? Would he allow it? It's a serious question.
No, I think he would.
I don't think he's allowing it, dude. I think he's going, what?
You might be right. Dude. I don't know, though. I'd take a week off.
Dude, something tells me Roquan's ready to play right now.
Yeah, that's true. Is there anybody on that list? Is there anybody you would add to that? Like, I just want to...
What about Zay?
I'd love to sit... Well, he's got the foot. You know, I know he's playing well, but he had the whole foot thing. Love to sit Zay. And, you know, I'd love a ton of, obviously, Tyler Huntley handing it off to Melvin Gordon. All right. True. Marcus Williams, DK just added in our chat. That's another one.
Dude, I think definitely. But you got to have some safeties out there. Right. Like, what are you going to have Geno do it? I mean, it's just an inch. I can't wait. If it does come down to that, I mean, I got to imagine it's going to keep those guys up at night thinking, what's the list of the guys we don't play? You know, like who's, because those who aren't on that list, if you're not on that list, you're a vet on the offense, vet on the defense, feel like you had a good year. You're not on the list of the important players I'm benching. Are you feeling some type of way about it, Jimbo?
Nah.
No?
I think it's just a numbers thing.
Like, what the hell has that guy done that I haven't done? That's what I'd be asking. If I'm Van Noy, if I'm Owe, I'm going, hold on. What about Meta BK, bro?
This sounds familiar to our current system. In economy, right? You get penalized for being reliable and dependent.
Yeah.
Somehow you end up carrying more of the burden is what it sounds like, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I can't imagine Meta BK sitting there going, Clowney's sitting and I'm doing what, coach? Dang, bro. Yeah. But no, it will be interesting to see how he does.
And how about playing him a half?
Yeah, there's that. I mean, I think that's the only maybe reason that bites you is half. If someone gets hurt in that half. I mean, but you can't be right. That's the. I mean, you're only right if you win, I guess.
Yeah, because I mean, think just same thing early on. Like it was so funny. We went for it on the fourth down early in the game. I'm like, oh man, oh, I'm nervous about this the whole time. And then as soon as they you know Gus converted, I got up and I was like, oh, I had no concerns. Like
that's right, knew it all along.
Great call, John. Like knowing all along that just like you said, you're never right. So it's just a tricky one. What about you? Have you kind of turned the corner? Are you okay with sitting the guys? How are you feeling?
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with it. I am. I just think it's gonna be a lot on John to try and simulate some sort of game speed and try and make sure these guys don't come into the game just dripping in rust where they have another bad start. Now they did have a pretty rough start in this Niner game, and they pulled it around. I mean, they start with a safety. They're down 5-0. Could have been worse if we don't have a Hamilton interception in the red zone. It could have gotten totally out of hand, but they righted the ship and end up blowing the team out. So maybe even if they do have some rust, maybe this is a team that can handle it, can get, you know, can bounce back from some early adversity and deal with a slow start. But yeah, I'd much rather deal with possible rust than possible injury. Ryan says, love hanging with y'all boys. Let's just win. Yeah, let's just get it done, man.
That's
I love
right.
it.
I cannot wait for the 1 p.m. on Sunday to be there so we can get this thing done. As Modus Sano says, for your Big McDonald needs. Also, only rest those who are banged up and play the starters at the half. So, like, until the half, yeah.
Okay.
That's fair. I mean.
Well, I tell you what, if Lamar's out there, I'm telling the offensive line, sorry, but y'all are all out there.
Yeah, that's true. I don't want to see any Lamar. No backups. I don't want to see any Lamar.
Yeah.
No number 8. All right. Well, should we get to the competition?
Yeah, I think we should.
So, with that being said, really quickly, just around the corner on the playoff picture, guys, keep your eyes on the Browns. Right. Obviously, this game is huge for us, and we can take care of business right now if we just win it. But keep your eye on the Browns, man, because I'm sure you guys have been. They're coming. But really, like Glenn said, it's a three-horse race at this point with the Ravens in the league. Let's stomp this thing out and check.
And one last question, because Big Cuz brings it up. It's an interesting one. If Lamar sits in Week 18 and another player has a big Week 18, like would Lamar already have, since he can't play
I think
play
he won
worse,
the MVP last night.
Would he have already had it won, or could he get it taken away while he's sitting on the bench?
No, I think if he comes out and plays well and beats the Dolphins, I don't think there's anything that anyone can do to take away from him. Okay. His team is the best team in football, has beat the best teams in football, and he's the best person on that team. Like, what else is there, dude?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I like it. Let's see. Big Fesh says, what am I missing here? Why are we talking rest when the number one seed in a bye is on the line with the win against the Finns?
No, that we're saying after the Dolphins game. Once we beat the Dolphins, we're talking about resting against the Steelers. Once we lock up the number one seed. Yeah.
Just looking ahead, playoff picture. There's only 2 games left. Just trying to look ahead.
Yeah.
Just to see what if we win, if we lose, just some different scenarios. Just talking hypotheticals here, guys.
That's right.
But appreciate the super chat, Asmodeus. Yes, please hit that like button. Help push us out to more fans. Appreciate it.
If you're going to Hulk smash it, don't break the keyboard.
Yeah, yeah. Don't break it. Yeah. Don't hit it too hard now.
That's right. All right, let's do it, Glenn. Of course, our competition, as always, is brought to you guys by none other than BetUS. Mm-hmm. Go check them out. They're great partners of ours. We enjoy working with them. We enjoy using their platform. And you guys get free money for doing it. It's an easy way to support the show. So go ahead and use the link in the description or use the promo code 410BETUS and get not only a match up to 100%, you get an additional 25%. So that's 125%. Look, go get some, go put some money down on Lamar being the MVP. There's probably a likelihood of the Ravens getting number one overall seed, amongst other things. Have some fun with it. Gift it for somebody for a late Christmas present, last minute type thing. But go use the promo code 410 or use the link in the description that DK has been gracious enough to place there. Let's get into it.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Of course, it's a heated race between myself and Jimbo as this season ends. The competition is getting close. I think you have a one win lead heading into this, this week. And I didn't look ahead. I didn't peek. I'm interested to see, do either I tie it up? Do you extend your lead or does DK get a win and make our little battle, you know, last one more week? So let's see what happens. Let's get into our over-under, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's do it.
All right. So the first over-under is Ravens rushing yards. DK said it at 150 and a half. We got to just 102.
I think I said over on this, didn't I?
Let me see here.
Yeah, I said over.
Did you? We all said over, and we were all very, very wrong. Definitely Glenn's won this game Glenn's through the air. Ahead. I just clicked on the thing here. That's all. I just saw. Okay. I didn't know my answer. I didn't know if I was right. I didn't know who was right. All right. So moving on to the next one. We were all wrong on the first one. Next one is Ravens time of possession. 30 minutes. We get it for 31 and 14 seconds. Let's see. I was wrong again. Golly, Jimbo.
And you both still, were right. Still early.
You both were right. I was wrong. So I'm down. I'm down early. This is not good. All right, Jimbo, what do we have for the next one?
All right, the next one is Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen total tackle, 17 and a half over under. I went over on this one, didn't I? I think I feel pretty confident I went over.
Yeah, you did. I went over as well. DK went under. We thought this was a layup.
Yes.
Like, we thought this was easy, and DK was right. So he takes the lead.
Yeah, you got none correct?
Yeah, you didn't have to say it like that.
No, I'm surprised. I honestly was not being said. That was
I'm
not
surprised
a joke.
Too. And I think the whole chat is surprised, to be honest with you.
I think one person in the chat is surprised.
The people's champ is not faring so well. All right, let's go to the last one here as I cannot catch DK, so I know I've already lost. Let's see. The fourth over under Christian McCaffrey rushing and receiving yards, 115 and a half. This one. We said was an apps. I said was an absolute layup. I can't believe you guys both went under. I was right on this one. No surprise there. The world is all better, but I couldn't catch DK. And so I lose. DK wins because he had two right. I had one. Jimmy had one. If I'm right, if I'm correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we don't even need to go to the tiebreakers, but for those of you who competed at home, we will do so.
Freaking do it. All right. Total score for the first tiebreaker is the over under is set. The line is set at 47 and a half points. I believe that. Oh, and obviously the total was 52. We all went over. We all got that one right. Moving on. Second tiebreaker, total yards for the Ravens, close to the pin, 343. Ooh. And I hit 345.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty happy about that one. Nonetheless, I still lost. DK is the winner. Shout out DK. Hey, and Don C says it right, the DKster. Don C says a sauce DK is a prediction machine. Glenn get hammered for the last couple pick'ems.
Yep.
I love how that's become a thing now.
DK. Hey, dude, you know what's hilarious? I went over to my in-laws. And I was talking to them because they're, of course, big supporters, watch the show. And they were like, man, DK's going out partying a lot. They believed us. They thought DK had a problem. The DK was out just running the streets of New York City.
That's hilarious.
And you know what? They were right. He is out running the streets of New York City. He is out there partying it up. I mean, so they were correct in believing us, but they believed it. Hook, line, and sinker, dude. The DK's a party animal.
That's hilarious, dude. Not that it's not hilarious to think that DK couldn't be a party animal, but that just anyway. That's
we just take for granted that people know we're joking some of the time, and yeah. No, they don't always know when we're joking.
Well, DK is has all his faculties in order, ladies and gentlemen. Right. He's a functioning, responsible adult.
I will say this. I don't know if I could say the same for the Niner fans at my house last night. Let me just say this. They tried to find hope at the bottom of a liquor bottle after that game went sideways in the second half. They were looking for hope at the bottom of Jack Daniels.
Jeez Louise. Oh, that is a long dive.
Yeah, it was a tough one. I'm interested in your take on this, Jimbo. Doomgoy94 says, this team beats or mops the 2019 team. Yeah. It's Super Bowl or bust. If you could put on your thinking cap, close your eyes for a sec. Who
it's
wins?
For me. I agree for sure. And there's two reasons. I think the defense is better. And I think that the offense is so much more malleable in how they can break down a defense. Where before it was just, this is how we get it done. And there was not much variance from that. Not saying it wasn't absolutely dominant, because it was. And that had all to do with how freaking good Lamar Jackson was and the players around him. But this is Lamar unlocked, in my opinion, right? With better weapons and more mature. And just, he's a better football player than he was in 2019. That makes sense.
And do you think a 2019 Lamar Jackson could be contained by this defense? I mean, I think that
hard
2019
to say.
Lamar running and spinning. I know we got some dudes on the defense, and I'm seeing Kyle Hamilton in the open field with a 2019 Lamar Jackson. Who wins
no
that?
Chance.
Who wins that?
Lamar? I don't know. Look, he had an open field. He had an open field tackle last night against McCaffrey.
That ain't Lamar. Look, I've said it. I'll say it again. Lamar Jackson is still the most elusive in the open field with the ball in his hands. I don't care about what position. Look what he did to Fred Warner last night.
Yeah, that was bad. Ooh.
You know what's the great thing about Fred Warner?
Buckets of cement.
I got into it with those Niner fans because he said, all right, look, the Ravens are second, but the Niners clearly have the better linebacking duo. Clearly. Dre Greenlaw is a bully. He's better than Pat Queen. Come on, Fred Warner. Right after I heard about how great Fred Warner was, I saw Zay absolutely embarrass him. Yeah. I saw Lamar embarrass him on multiple occasions. Yeah. I saw him get beaten coverage over the middle when he was his responsibility. And I kept going, I thought that guy was the best in the league.
Yeah. No, it's like they give him the Justin Tucker treatment. Mm. Like they just automatically like, oh, this guy's the best in the world. What are you like? Yep. I don't get it. Oh, he's great. Don't get me wrong, but you can't just brush aside Roquan Smith and his impact on the team. Look what the dude has done for our team. And it's just incredible, right?
No doubt. And then you get last night and you think, who got the sacks? We had four sacks. Brent Urban had two. Crazy. Bannoy had one. Clowney had one. You're talking about three guys on one-year deals, veterans. Mm-hmm. On one-year deals, one of which came off the couch in week, what, four or five? And Clowney, everyone said he was done. And look at that. In the biggest game, we get 3 1-year players dropping all the pressure on
how awesome is that? Yeah. Shout out to them for staying locked in, and shout out to McDonough for putting them in positions.
Yeah. Yeah, and speaking of that, you know, that team, 2019, Van Noy, who had a huge game yesterday, big-time sack. Jason's right. He was on that team in 2019, and Lamar made him look absolutely silly. I think he was on the Dolphins, though, when he made him look silly, wasn't he? Or was he on the Patriots? Because Van always spent some time with the Finns also.
Yeah, he did.
And he looked
got a big paycheck and then bounced is what he did.
I thought it was on the Dolphins that he get, but it might have been the Patriots. I think you might be right, where he was in the backfield and he got shot. I mean, it was horrible. He just dropped in the backfield. Yeah, it was bad. So, yeah, I don't know if even the great Kyle Hamilton and Roquan Smith would have had something for a 2019 Lamar Jackson, because that guy was something.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. You aren't wrong. It would be a tough one. It'd be a fun game to watch. But we got to also get to our competition winner, of course, outside of us. I think we got a new one this week, right, DK? Let's put it up here. So the person's username is Maryland in Texas. First-time winner. Shout out. Yeah, submitted their answers via YouTube. Please, if you're watching the show, any of the handles that are at the top right corner of the show, any of the social media handles that you see, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, send us your address and your shirt size, and we will make sure to get a shirt out to you. Shout out to you, man. Hopefully you get another one next week. DK, how many is that for you now? Four? Is it six, five, four? Oh, boy.
Five, DK. I thought you had four in the last graphic I saw. I think you're nipping at the heels here. That's four? Okay. He's at four. Okay. All right.
Hey, next so DK week. Is the Browns in this scenario.
Oh, hold on. Hey, DK, how do we decide the tiebreaker? Let's say it ends in me and Jimmy tied. Do you have tiebreaker scenarios?
Percentage, okay. I'm guessing, okay. would be the next one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Never mind. I saw that. Never mind. I saw the standings. You're beating me in accuracy and all that garbage, too. Okay.
All that garbage that you leaned on last year every time you would lose.
All that garbage, dude. You know? Hey, look.
It doesn't count anymore. It's not helping you. It's not helping you. It doesn't count, right?
This is just like Lamar, dude. You're living in analytics. I'm doing the eye test, okay? I can see I'm the winner, okay?
Wait, I have the best record and the best percentage.
What?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to my world.
But look, awesome. I think that's it for us tonight.
That's it for us.
We were hoping to have Cole on tonight. He couldn't make it, feeling under the
Cole's
weather.
Out so partying we'll hope. In Toronto or something. Who knows what he's doing?
Yeah, he has no voice after screaming last night. He simply couldn't do the show with no voice.
Still hammered.
Exactly. No, but he'll hopefully be back with us next week to you know further break down the end of the season and he'll obviously be breaking down the Dolphins game. We'll get his reaction, but we will be back this Friday to get you set up for this Dolphins game this Sunday that should have been flexed. And of course, we'll be live right after that game is over to give you our post game thoughts and reaction. But that's it for us tonight. Be back here Friday live. Be here or be square.